and FM in Seattle. It's 10 o'clock.
CBS News. The election for mayor of West Berlin is over, but the man who came out on top is still missing. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Authorities in West Berlin have taken four anarchists out of prison, waiting to fly them out of the country, but there's no word yet from the kidnappers of Peter Lorenz. His party came out on top in Sunday's elections. Bob McNamara reports from West Berlin.
Nearly 90% of West Berlin's voters went to the polls, their interest heightened by the kidnapped candidate, Peter Lorenz. Incumbent Mayor Klaus Schütz has played a key role in the delicate negotiations to free Lorenz. Tonight, Schütz and his party lost control of the city parliament as the voters clearly threw their support to Lorenz because of his law and order platform. But it was a bittersweet victory at best. Though the Christian Democrats are now the leading party in West Berlin, they still do not have enough votes to put Lorenz squarely in the mayor's office. Just who will be mayor will not be known until Lorenz is released by his abductors and a coalition government is formed. Meanwhile, the search continues for the 52-year-old Lorenz. The manhunt has focused on border checkpoints leading to East Germany, but so far no leads have turned up. The earliest Lorenz captors are expected to let him go will be sometime late Monday. Bob McNamara, CBS News, Berlin.
A late report from West Berlin says the four anarchists have now agreed to be flown out of the country. The four reportedly have been taken to the airport in Frankfurt, where a Lufthansa Airlines plane is standing by. No word on where the plane would go. More news in a moment.
Give your hand to a man. Give your heart to your love.
But give your courage to contact.
6 or 3 or 1? That's the question when you catch the common cold. Then take 12-hour contact. You need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule. For up to 12 hours, continuous relief from sneezing, congestion, drips. The tiny time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin. Contact doesn't. Your cold, your choice. 6 or 3 or 1. Give your cold to contact, the number one cold medicine in the whole world.
Give your cold to contact.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact only as directed.
An energy program which Chairman Al Ullman describes as tough and solid has been approved by Democrats on the House Ways and Means Committee. It would restrict the amount of oil that can be imported into the U.S. It would also raise gasoline taxes by 40 cents a gallon by 1979 on so-called excess use of gasoline. Republican Senator William Roth of Delaware says the Ford administration on Monday will probably announce a delay in the imposition of more oil import tariffs scheduled for March and April. Roth says the White House told him President Ford will likely accept a delay in the last $2 of the tariffs while working out a compromise energy plan with the Democrats. Layoffs in the auto industry will remain high this week. A report from Carl Metcalf of station WJR Detroit.
Some 261,000 U.S. auto workers will be off their jobs this week. That's about 3,500 fewer than last week. The figure includes nearly 212,000 workers who are still on indefinite layoffs. 15 plants will be down this week as the industry continues to suffer from its deepest sales slump since the end of World War II. Showroom salesmen will be without the rebate incentive, except for a modified plan Chrysler is keeping for 3 more weeks. Dealers are confident, though, enough momentum has been generated to keep sales moving at last month's brisk pace. This is Carl Metcalf for CBS News in Detroit.
The American Social Health Association reports that the incidence of gonorrhea has hit record levels in the United States. The group says there were 874,000 cases of the venereal disease reported in 1974, an increase of 8% over the previous year. The Beatle is about to go on the Arab blacklist. That Arab group leading a boycott of Israel is telling the Volkswagen company to stop dealing with Israel or face an Arab boycott. The Volkswagen firm has a subsidiary plant in Israel. Now this.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's new Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Vaseline Hemorrhoid. It's new. Use only as directed.
Don?
Hey, what's all the crying about?
I just want the baby to be born all right.
Oh, hey, it'll be all right. You've been taking good care of yourself. I know.
The time to worry about your first pregnancy is long before it happens, when your body is preparing itself for what it will have to go through. Find out what your body needs before you become pregnant. Write for the book, Food is More Than Just Something to Eat. Write Nutrition, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Hey, why are you crying?
Because I'm so happy. That's silly.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
The Shah of Iran has declared that his nation is a one-party country. The Shah asked all other parties to disband, and he told communists and other dissenters to take their passports and get out of Iran. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook showers the periods of partial clearing through tomorrow. The highs in the 50s and lows in the mid-40s. In downtown Seattle, currently it's 47 degrees. At the airport, a temperature of 45. The barometer rising at 30.13. Taking a look at sports in the NBA, the Seattle Supersonics defeated Boston by a score of 104-99. Portland down Golden State 122-86. Houston beat Phoenix 110-104. Kansas City over Detroit 122-112. Philadelphia beat the New York Knicks 91-87. And Washington on top of Los Angeles 117-104. CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next on KIXI. The time is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Of all the fears that have plagued mankind, probably the most terrible was the possibility of being buried alive. Oh, don't shrink away. You have nothing to fear, modern medical science being what it is. But not so many years ago, the thought of waking up in one's closed coffin beneath 6 feet of earth, that was a horrible thought indeed. And an ever-present danger, which led, in at least one case, to a remarkably strange experiment.
Let me go. Oh, please let me go. I'm dead, I tell you. I'm dead.
My guy, I must release her.
No, Gordon, no. She's alive.
Only my spirit lives. My body has been dead for days.
Guy, I beg you, let me release her from the spell of mesmerism I cast over her.
Yes, yes. Release me.
No, Victory, no. Oh, no, my darling. If I let Gordon break his hold on you, you will be dead, and I can't face the horror of that.
Then a worse horror awaits you. Oh, horror. Far, far worse.
Our mystery drama, The Premature Burial, was adapted from the Edgar Allan Poe classic, especially for the Mystery Theater, by George Lowther, and stars Keir DeLay. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
the sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sinoff, the sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And Sinoff doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sinoff Sinus Spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sinoff Sinus Spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
It was the first time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed, and I shakily held onto the willows, and we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish. The biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life, and it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
As you know, I'm an inveterate and incurable reader of diaries. The Paston letters, John Evelyn, Pepys, Boswell, young Pastor Kilvert. I've read them all and many more besides. The daily journals, that is, of lesser-known folk. In so doing, I've happened upon some curious tales, but none, I assure you, that can match in sheer terror the one I bring you now. I happened upon it years ago in a small, out-of-the-way bookshop in London, England. It's the journal of a young doctor, Dr. Gordon Rainey, and it recounts certain events that took place in the year 1810. Now, let me see where to begin. Here. I arrived at the Bull and Bear Inn in Salisbury, the doctor writes, in one of the worst of storms,
and having stabled my horse and seen to its proper care, soon found myself in the rooms my friend Guy Peterson had engaged for himself. In all the years I'd known him, since undergraduate days at Cambridge, I'd never known this closest of my friends to be in such a state of overwrought nerves.
Thank God you come, Gordon. Thank God you're here at last, my friend.
I came as soon as I could after getting your message, but... But what is it? I've never seen you in such a state of nerves. Thank God, you're actually trembling.
She's dead. Dead, you see, and they buried her last week, but I must see her once again. Gaze on her face.
Now look at me.
What?
Look at me. Look full into my eyes.
What? Gordon, what are you doing?
I'm merely calming you down through the use of mesmerism.
Mesmerism? What in heaven's name is that? And why do you stare at me? As if I...
That's right, old friend. That's right. Calm down. Quiet yourself. Relax. Just loosen up. Let yourself go. That's it. That's it. There now. Feel better?
Why, yes. But how did you do it? What is this mesmerism, did you say?
Yes. A means of controlling another person by, well, to put it simplistically, dominating him with one's own will, the force of one's own willpower.
But that's miraculous. And yet you did it. I feel ever so much calmer now because you made me.
Good. And now, Guy, calmly tell me why you sent that urgent message to meet you here in Salisbury.
Victorine. Victorine is dead.
Well, I know how you must feel. And of course, I sympathize deeply, but her death...
Isn't it a blessing?
A blessing? She's dead. Victorine is dead.
And at last free of the hellish life Sir Giles Buckingham led her. Come now, Guy. Is that not something to thank God for?
Well, I suppose so. I suppose so.
Oh, my dear good friend. I know how much you loved her.
Loved her? She was my heart, my soul, my very life. A life that ended for me when her family forced her to marry Sir Giles.
We've talked of it again and again, but now that she is dead, perhaps you can try to take up your life again.
I must see her, Gordon.
See her?
That's why I'm here. Why I asked you here. I must see her, Gordon. Gaze upon her lovely face once more.
But she's buried. Buried a week ago, you said.
In the family vault on the Buckingham estate. I want to go there tonight. Force entry into the vault. Open her coffin. And look at her once more. Just once more. I need you because I fear to go alone.
There is more to fear than that, Guy.
What do you mean?
A body, dead and buried for a week in a damp and virtually airless vault. Guy, you will not see Victorine as she was in life.
I shall see her.
Guy, this is mad. I beg you to...
I must! I don't care what she has become. I must see her once more. Must I do it alone? Will you help me?
If it is your wish, you wish it so strongly, then... Yes, I'll help you.
We must be careful not to be discovered, Gordon. This moonlight makes everything as clear as day.
There'll be no one about unless the estate is guarded at night against poachers.
Let's hope not. Wind kicking up. That should help a little. Cover any sound we make.
Yes.
Here's the gate to the estate.
Yeah. Is it locked?
Soon find out. No. Come. There. Not so much for that.
Now, the location of the vault. Do you know where it is?
Yes. That line of copper beeches on the hill. Do you see them?
Yes.
The vault lies just beyond. Come.
Wait.
That barking dog. If the place is guarded by a dog or even dogs...
Now, don't let your nerves get the best of you. Bad enough to face trouble when it comes, not before.
That dog. It's here on the ground. And closer. Gordon?
Steady, man, steady. Yes, it's on the grounds, all right. And coming this way. Come. Let's step out into the open.
Into the open?
If the dog is coming this way, I want to meet it in full moonlight.
Why, Gordon? Why?
Because my only chance of subduing the beast, if it can be done, will be with my eyes. My voice, too, yes, but the eyes. There, I see it. Coming over the hill against the moonlight.
Good Lord. Oh, my first animal, Gordon.
It's a mastiff and a big one. And he's caught our scent. Come on, step out into the moonlight. Well, quickly, or all is lost.
Yes. Gordon, I'm scared.
Stand still. Make no move. Leave this to me. All right, boy. Quiet down. Quiet down now. That's a good dog. That's it. We're not here to do you any harm, boy. We're friends. Your friends. Yes, that's right, boy. There's a good dog. A fine dog.
Unbelievable. You stopped him with your eyes. Held him to the one spot just by looking at him, and with your voice you soothed him. You calmed him. Took all the fight out of him.
Yes. And now, let's get on to the vault.
Here we are. The vault.
Locked?
Afraid so. I'll have to use the pry bar I brought.
Well, be as quiet as you can.
Yes. There. Gate's open. We can go in. Light the lantern, Gordon.
Guy, once more, I urge you not to go through with this.
I must. You know I must.
Now listen to me.
Light the lantern.
I'm lighting the lantern, but listen to me.
You remember Victorine as she was, the lovely, innocent, gentle girl who was forced to marry Sir Giles 7 years ago. The torments he put her through, the daily torture of living with such a beast, these alone would have changed her face. But she is dead as well, and buried here a whole week. Guy, I beg you once again, remember her as she was, not as she must now be.
Shine the lantern about.
Very well.
Oh, dear heaven, there are at least a dozen coffins piled one on another. How can we tell which is Victorian?
Hers would be one of the topmost. Yes, and the velvet covering would be the newest. The brass studs still bright. Ah, that one up there, I think.
Let's get it down and see.
Just let me put the lantern over there. So, now then, I'll take the head of the coffin, you the other end. Can you reach it?
Just
pull then. Now, pull it to the edge. And when we get it to the edge, we can put our hands under it and let it down very gently.
Yes.
Gordon.
I heard it.
What was it? It couldn't be. Can't be what I thought.
A voice.
And it comes from inside the coffin. Oh, dear heaven above. This is Victorine. Gordon. She's alive. Alive.
Let's put it on the ground. On the ground.
Easy now. Easy.
The pry bar now. Pry off the lid.
Yes.
Well, hurry, man.
My nerves. Hands trembling, those things.
Give it to me. Now then.
Well, hurry. Hurry.
Well, I'm working as fast as I can. There.
The lantern. Quickly, the lantern.
Yes, yes.
Shine it into the coffin.
There.
Oh, look. Victorine alive. Alive.
Guy, it's you. It's you. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. Horrors, I've been through.
All right, gently now, my dear, gently.
Gordon, you, Gordon.
Yes, yes, my dear. Come on, Guy, lend a hand. Help me lift her out.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Oh, buried alive, oh, my dearest. It must have been horrible for you.
I don't want to think about it. I can't tell you. To wake up, and at first not knowing where you are, and everything black, pitch black, suffocating, scarce enough air to breathe.
Best not then, to think about it.
And then you move, and you feel the sides of the coffin. Narrow, so narrow. And you reach up, and you touch the lid, but the lid's only an inch or two from your face. And suddenly, you know. Oh, heaven help me, you know. You scream with the terror of it. You scream and scream and
stop
scream.
It. Stop it at once. At once.
Yes, Gordon.
You're alive, and that's all that matters.
Yes.
And thanks to what I called a mad impulse, you're safe.
Oh, yes. Oh, my darling, my dearest.
Sweetheart,
my dearest.
Sweetheart.
Now, listen to me, you two. Listen, we face a problem.
What problem?
Well, how are you going to take her back to Sir Giles? How explain all this? Sir Giles will have you, have us arrested for breaking and entering.
She's not going back to Sir Giles. She's coming with me, away from this hellish place.
Oh, my darling.
You can't do that. She is his wife.
I'll die before I let Sir Giles get his hand on her.
A promise you may very well keep, my dear sir.
What?
It's Giles.
How did you...
The barking of my dog aroused me. I, in turn, roused my keepers, who are out and about scouring the woods. As it happens, I came this way, saw the light of your lantern flickering in the vault, and prepared to surprise what I thought to be grave robbers. Well, as it happens, I am the one surprised. Indeed, I'm shocked. I scarcely expected to find Victorine alive.
Yes, she's alive. And from here on, Sir Giles will live, I pray, a far happier life with me than ever she did with you. Move aside, sir.
I think not. If you're going anywhere, my friend, you and your accomplice, it's to jail. As for my wife, since she is returned to life, she will also return to me.
Oh, no!
You don't move, sir, I warn you. For if you do, it will give me extreme pleasure to blow your head off with this gun. extreme pleasure.
I confess that at this point in Dr. Gordon Rainey's journal, I thought the tale over and done with. I was wrong, for really, it was only the beginning. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
There's a special kind of beer. Maybe you know it. Budweiser. It was created nearly a century ago by people who really cared about things, who took pride in brewing a quality beer, no matter what the cost. In time, in ingredients, in anything. Today, the people who brew the King of Beers still have that special pride. And every taste of Beechwood-aged Budweiser says so loud and clear. Hear it talking? Ah, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Hi, this is Phyllis Diller. You know, I love being funny, because it's a way to spread a little joy and happiness. Right now, I'd like to tell you how you can spread a little joy and happiness. And more than that, help some very special people. I'm speaking of our country's 6 million mentally retarded children and adults. Like all of us, mentally retarded people need love and affection and understanding and patience. They also need a special kind of help that will enable them to develop to their fullest. It's a big job for the people who are trying to provide help to the mentally retarded. And that's where you come in. Please lend a helping hand. I'll tell you how. Join and support the work of your local association of the National Association for Retarded Citizens. So come on. Give them a hand. Make a contribution to your local association. It'll give you a nice, warm, thankful glow.
Well, as I said, I thought that Dr. Gordon Rainey's story had come to an end. He had gone with his friend, Guy Peterson, to the vault where the woman he loved lay dead in her coffin, only to find her alive. And then, as he planned to run away with her to save her from further torments at the hands of her husband, he was stopped by the appearance of that same husband, gun in hand, promising to have him and Dr. Rainey jailed.
Giles, I entreat you. Let them go. They've done no harm. On the contrary, if it hadn't been for Guy and Dr. Rainey, I'd even now be lying in my coffin, alive.
Would that you were. Damn you, woman, would that you were. Your unexpected return from the grave will lose me a fortune.
But how can my being alive cost you anything?
Lady Hastings is a widow. Lady Hastings has an income of $30,000 a year. I proposed marriage to her on Tuesday, and she accepted me.
You propose marriage to another woman 3 days after your wife died?
Why not? I'm alive, very much alive. And to live, one needs money. Why the look, Dr. Rainey?
You have more sense, it seems, than sensitivity, Sir Giles.
Insulting me will only worsen matters for you, Doctor, if that's possible. You can't be as unaware as you would like to seem that your career is ruined. A doctor, a physician, arrested for breaking and entering a mortuary? A sacred repository of the dead?
Sir Giles, you mustn't do this to Dr. Rainey. He helped me because he's my friend, a good and true friend. He was against it from the very start and would never have agreed to assist me had it not been for his deep and abiding sense of loyalty.
Oh, do stop, do, or you shall have me in tears.
Tears from a stone? A miracle?
Come on, I... Very well, then. Stone that will crush you, dear wife. Crush you until the death you've escaped will seem a paradise to you.
Put down that gun and
I... but I've no intention of putting down the gun. Certainly not until the bailiff arrives and takes you into custody, to jail, where I shall see to it you rot, the two of you.
What do you mean, rot?
I mean, quite simply, that once you're put in jail, you will never leave it. You will rot there, Doctor.
You make no sense, Sir Giles. The penalty for breaking and entering...
Penalties? Who speaks of penalties?
I do. There are laws. Laws in this nation.
But only one law here, me. I am the law in the village of Buckingham. I am Buckingham.
Oh, it is.
No, Sir Giles. You will not imprison this man for the rest of his life. Nor will you imprison me.
Oh? And may I ask why not?
Because I say so. Because I tell you so. No, don't look away. Look at me. Look into my eyes. Have the courage to look into them and tell me then. Will you imprison us?
Mesmerism.
Why, such is my intention, yes?
Is your intention, Sir Giles, or was?
Well, it certainly was. I mean to say, well, the way you put it, most eloquently.
Good Lord, it's working. He's doing it again.
Doing what?
Shh. And you, being a man of sensitivity, my eloquence, the validity of what I say, has touched you. Is that not so? It is so, isn't it?
Seen in a different light, so to speak, yes, it would serve no purpose to put you in jail. None really.
And so you let us go? You will let us go?
Yes, go. Get out of my sight, the two of you, and never come back.
Let us leave, Guy.
Victorine.
Under the law, there's nothing we can do. She is his wife.
I can't leave her.
You must. The bailiff will be here any moment, and I can't dominate Sir Giles' will with mine much longer.
Victorine.
Go, my darling.
What? To leave you with him?
No, whatever happens to me will be harder to bear if you are in prison. Go, I entreat you. Go!
Second thought.
He's coming out of it. Guy, my friend, I've done all I can for you, and I'll not see my career ruined because you...
Because you're right. Goodbye, my darling, my dearest.
Goodbye.
Mesmerize me, Gordon. Do something. Do anything to relieve me of this torment.
You must control yourself.
I think of her, dream of her. She is never out of my thought, and always I am stricken with the thought that my very imaginings are as nothing to what he is really doing to her. The beatings, the starving of her, her very loneliness, the vile subjection to his passion. Oh, merciful heaven, I shall go out of my mind.
Yes, Guy, you shall. Unless you pull yourself together. Now, if you don't stop thinking of her, if you don't stop letting your fancy invent miseries, she is very likely not suffering. You will go insane. You will.
Someone at the door.
Who? Were you expecting someone?
No one. Whom would I want to see?
I'll answer.
Victorine!
Save me, Gordon! Save me!
Good heavens! Come in, my dear. Guy, look, it's Victorine.
Victorine? Oh. It is. It is. My dearest,
I could bear it no more. Oh, yes. Oh, hold me in your arms. Hold me.
Oh, Victorine.
He may kill me, but I'll never go back. Never. He never loved me. And now he hates me because I keep him from marrying Lady Hastings and her fortune and makes me pay. Oh, save me from him. Never. Let him take me back.
Gordon, she's fainting.
Here, Victorine, some brandy. Now, lie down on the couch.
Yeah. There, my love. Lie back. Relax.
Let me take over, Guy. Go and bar the door, and bar it solidly.
Bar the...
He must know she has fled, and to where she has fled, and he cannot risk her out of his sight because...
Because what? Damn it, what? Say it!
Let me say it for him. Once again, I am near death.
No!
Yes. Unless I can find rest. Unless I can feel myself safe from him. I shall die.
You will not?
I want to die.
Now stop talking, man. For once, act. Now bar that door.
Yes.
Ah, too late.
No, I threw the bolt.
Not enough.
Open up. Open up, I say. Or I'll have the door broken down.
Gordon, what's happening?
Unless you want a smashed door with nothing gained. Open it.
Open, you hear? Open!
He'll take her back to Buckingham.
Yes, he will. She's his wife. There's nothing you can do.
Now, damn you all. At it again, are you? Stealing my wife? Taking what belongs to me? You men, take her.
No.
Over my dead body.
Take her.
No.
Enough. Oh, enough. Stand back or I'll brain you with this candlestick. All right, then.
You'll be next, my friend. If you don't...
Very well. Move back. You're quite a hand with a candlestick, Dr. Rainey.
Yes.
You've laid my man out. I trust you know what this means for you.
Perhaps you should consider what it means for you, Sir Giles.
Me, sir?
Yes, you're not in Buckingham now. You're in London.
Seeking a wife who's run from her husband to her lover.
No, sir. A woman who has come to her doctor.
What?
What do you say? Your wife is dangerously ill. You have only to use your eyes to see that. I, being her friend, I am sure she sought me at my residence, and, not finding me there, came here.
Adroit? Most adroit, Dr. Rainey. May I ask, then, if you've prescribed for her illness?
Not as yet, Sir Giles.
Ah, but you will.
Yes.
Not good enough, Dr. Rainey. As her husband, or lawful husband, I intend to take her back with me to Buckingham. Victorine, my darling, come with me.
No.
Oh, really, now, you've no choice.
No.
Take your hands off her.
No.
You, Guy, you have no recourse. In the eyes of the law, she is his wife. He wants her, and you cannot keep her from him.
Sensibly said, Doctor. Here, dear wife, good wife, faithful and loyal wife, take my hand and let me help you from off that couch. Take my hand.
Vile. You are vile. Filthy. Foul. I shall never touch you again. I'd rather burn off my hands than touch you, you evil man. I'll die rather than go back with you. Die!
Damn you, come!
No. No. No.
Gordon. She is dead.
Oh, no.
Are you sure, Doctor? She was pronounced dead once before, you know.
There is no pulse. I can detect no vital signs. To all intents and purposes, she is dead.
Ah, you modern-day doctors, always escaping in words and phrases, to all intents and purposes, which is to say, you're not sure.
Who is sure of anything, Sir Giles? However, considering what has gone before, we will keep her here under observation for a few days.
You'll do nothing of the sort. You men, pick her up and bear her to my carriage.
No! Wait! What are you doing?
Possessing myself of my property, sir. Whether it be alive or dead.
But you can't do this. You
can't
do...
Take her to my carriage.
Gordon!
There is nothing either of us can do. And Guy, she is dead. I'm virtually sure of that.
What if she is not?
Don't trouble yourself. Your own friend, the man you trust, Dr. Gordon Rainey, has pronounced her dead. All I intend to do is see that she is properly buried. This time, to stay properly buried.
Is she dead? You must understand, in those days, more than half a century ago, one was never sure. I'll return shortly for Act Three.
Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom spirit like a wild bird call.
you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free.
The urge hits. You know you have to hit the road. So with Buick Skylark SR firmly in hand, you do just that. Quickly, confidently, you're on your way. Skylark SR's touring car cockpit. Its bold stance and spirited V6 engine make exhilarating excursions a daily occurrence. Find out at your Buick dealer now.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free.
Radio. It's been doing nice things for you for years. It wakes you up. It keeps you company in your car. It fills your life with music. It fills your mind with ideas. It informs, entertains, and radio does something else. It sells. Quickly, easily, creatively, efficiently. Consider that last word, efficiently. As a businessman, you know how all costs, including advertising, have been skyrocketing. You know what adflation means. A major advertising agency has just reported that line rates for the largest metropolitan dailies in the top 50 markets rose 12% over the past year. But what about radio? The same study revealed the cost for buying radio in the top 50 markets increased only 3%. What else can you buy today that only costs 3% more than it did a year ago? Get radio selling for you. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight adflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
Think for a moment how you would feel if you thought someone you loved might conceivably have been buried alive. And you will understand the feelings of young Guy Peterson. Think again how you would feel if you were a close friend of Guy's, a physician who risks his career every time he consents to help Guy spirit his beloved from her tomb. And you will then understand why Dr. Gordon Rainey wrote in his journal,
I feel if Guy is not mad, he is close to it. He has never been a robust man, but on the contrary, something of a neurotic. So it was that I refused and again refused when he begged,
help me. I beg you, Gordon, help me.
That is what I am trying to do, by refusing what you ask. We were caught in the act of entering the Buckingham Vault the first time. We would surely be caught a second. There can be no doubt that Sir Giles is having the place guarded.
If there's a guard, we'll get past him somehow, or knock him unconscious, or yes, you could mesmerize him as you did that dog and Sir Giles.
Guy, my dear, good friend, listen to me. First, Victorine is dead.
How can you say that? She suffers. She must suffer from some sort of malady that makes her only appear to be dead. There are such maladies.
Yes, everything you say is true, but...
You admit she could yet be alive. Buried alive in that tomb even now.
Stop that. Stop it. The second thing I was going to point out is that mesmerism doesn't always work. Some people, the kind of peasant type who'd likely be guarding the vault, cannot be brought under the hypnotic influence.
Yes, but...
And a third thing is this. I am a doctor. If I get caught again, Sir Giles could end my career. And all I have tried to be, all the good I can accomplish in this world, would be set at naught. I'm sorry, Guy. I cannot risk it again.
Then I must do it alone.
You will not do it alone.
You cannot stop me. No one, nothing can stop me from rescuing Victorine from that vault.
Guy, you are mad. You are thinking irrationally, acting senselessly.
My concern, and certainly no longer yours.
Oh, Guy, Guy.
Leave me, Gordon. I must prepare for the journey to Salisbury. Well, leave, I said.
No, no. I'll go with you.
You've changed your mind?
I have not. But this is a mad business, and I'm a fool to help you, but I am also your friend.
Gordon?
Yes.
The vault is guarded.
Yes. I've seen a man. A big brute he is.
Do you think you can mesmerize him? Bring him under? What did you call it?
Hypnotic influence? I doubt it. He's the type I told you about. All muscle and little brain. It's a dark night to make things worse. You wouldn't be able to see my eyes clearly. Do you dare try? I have no choice. But keep this in mind, Guy.
Yes?
If I fail, as I most certainly shall, run for it. Do you understand? Don't try to fight him. Run.
Yes, whatever you say.
All right, now then. Let's step out of these bushes and walk toward him. Say and do nothing. Leave things to me. Come.
Who's there?
Oh, don't shoot, friends.
Then stand where you be. Let me have a look at you.
Of course. We mean no harm, friend. We are simply two gentlemen who got lost in these woods. And so...
Well, how come you're lost? This here is Buckingham Manor. And it's surrounded, all of it, with an iron fence. How come you got in?
Well, we really don't know. It's a dark night, and our eyes couldn't see much.
A likely story.
You must believe me. My sight is very poor, as it is. Very poor. Look for yourself. Look into my eyes and see for yourself.
Yeah, now, what is this? Look into your eyes. It's up to the manor house with you two. Will you answer to Sir Giles for trespassing on his...
Guy. That takes care of him.
You stabbed him.
You couldn't control him.
I said to run if I couldn't, but... Oh, Guy, I think you killed him.
Quickly, into the vault.
Wait. What's happened to you? Don't you realize that you've just murdered a man and that... Oh, you've gone mad. You have gone mad.
I am as sane as you. But mad or sane, I must get Victorine out of that vault. Now, come!
All right, but heaven help me, what have I got myself into now?
The private portal. Where is it?
Where? Well, you had it.
Oh, yes. I must hurry. Hurry, she's alive in there. Her coffin alive. I must... There. Come along, Gordon. Come along!
All right.
There. There's a coffin.
Yes.
Look fast. Get the lid off.
Insane. He's gone insane.
Victorine? Can you hear me? Are you alive, my dearest? Perhaps fainted. Oh, Gordon? That's possible, isn't it? Alive, but in a faint?
Oh, Guy, my poor dear friend.
There. Lid off, and she...
Dead. As I told you, dead.
Well, we can't be sure. You know we can't be sure.
Guy, in the name of reason...
Help me! Help me get her out of the coffin.
To what purpose?
We'll take her back with us to London and...
Take her back where?
To my place.
The first place Sir Giles will come to.
Then to yours.
Mine. Do you realize what you're asking of me?
If you're the friend you claim to be...
But what you ask is impossible. You've already made me your unwitting accomplice to murder, and now... Guy, you are out of your mind.
And you, Gordon, are no friend.
Guy, I beg you, leave her where she is. She's dead. Leave her at peace.
She is not dead. And I am taking her back to London.
If whoever may read these pages of my journal thinks me a fool, I could not agree more. But Guy was my closest friend and, what's more, was clearly deranged by the love he bore Victorine and his horror of letting her be buried alive. So we took her body to my rooms in London. 3 days she lay on the couch in my sitting room, Guy never leaving her side night or day. But on the third day, I knew something must be done to end this madness of his.
Look at her. There's no sign, not one, of decomposition.
Yes, because it is the middle of winter and we've kept the windows open and no fire in the fireplace. This sitting room of mine is a virtual ice house.
I know.
Now listen to me. What you persist in doing is not only lunacy, it is sacrilege. The dead deserve decent burial. If you love Victorine, as you say you do, let us bury her, Guy. Bury her tonight.
Where?
Then you will.
Yes. Where can we take her?
Well, I thought of that and prepared for it. A grave awaits her body in St. Pancras Cemetery. All is arranged. We can take her now under cover of night.
Then... Let us do it.
Good. Now, I've kept my carriage waiting below. Do you want to carry her, or shall I?
Let me.
It will be the
Last time I hold it in my arms.
All right. Pick her up, Guy.
Yes.
Gordon? Oh.
Gordon, what was that?
It's nothing. Come on, let's go downstairs.
But she gave a sigh when I picked her up.
Guy.
You heard? Gordon, you heard?
Good Lord, I did. Here, move aside.
She's alive. I knew it. Alive.
Quiet, man. In heaven's name, be quiet. Victorine. Victorine, do you hear me?
Yeah.
I have taken your hand in mine. Do you feel it?
No.
Can you open your eyes? If you can, open them.
She has. Gordon. She's gazing at me.
Victorine, do you see Guy?
Farewell.
Farewell.
I am near death.
No.
Only a spark of life remains.
No. No, she must not die. Gordon, stop her.
What are you saying?
Mesmerism. The hypnotic influence. Use it.
Are you mad? Use it? How?
Command her not to die. Command her to live.
Command her to live? Command what to live? When there was scarce a breath of life in her, her mind, her spirit, what? But I did it. May God, in his infinite mercy, forgive me. I did it. Using the powers of mesmerism, I held her eyes with mine and commanded her, forced her to live. Even though, over and over, she cried out,
I am dead! Let me go! I'm dead!
But I did not let her go, could not let her go, because, yes, I confess it, because the experiment fascinated me. I, Dr. Gordon Rainey, committed for over 5 long weeks, committed the sin, the crime, the sacrilege of holding the spirit within a dead body to this earth. Even though it pleaded, entreated, begged.
Release me! Oh, release me!
In a short time. Yes. Tell me first. What are you? Spirit? Soul? Mind? What?
I am dead. Dead. Dead.
What's that?
Come to the door. I'll answer.
You!
Found you at last, eh, you damn grave robber?
Sir Giles.
Yes, and you, Dr. Rainey, who so helped me, will no longer be called doctor when I'm through with you.
No, Giles, no.
Oh, what's this?
She lives?
No, Sir Giles.
But she speaks. I heard her speak. Here, let me see for myself.
Stay away from her. Don't you touch her.
Get out of my way, you.
Don't touch her, I said. Don't touch her.
Oh.
You shot him. You killed Guy.
Before he stabbed me to death, as he stabbed my servant. Self-defense, sir. And now enough of this. I came for my wife's body, but it appears I shall be taking a wife back to Buckingham Manor with me. Rouse her. Rouse her at once.
I cannot, Sir Giles. She is dead. Has been dead for more than 6 weeks.
I heard her speak.
Yes. But it was her soul, her spirit, I don't know what, but not her body. Her body is dead.
Yes, dead. I beg you, don't hold me any longer. Guy is here, let me go to him. I say to you that I am dead. Let me go.
She comes with me.
No. She goes where she should have gone long since now. Had it not been for me. Victorine, I release you. Go. And in the sanctity of death, join the lover you never had in life.
What's happening? Her body. Her body, it's disintegrating. Before my eyes. Rotting. Moldering. Horrible! Horrible!
indeed it was. For using Edgar Allan Poe's own words, upon the couch there now lay not the body of Victorine, but a nearly liquid mass of loathsome, detestable putrescence. Mr. Poe's words, mind. When he set out to horrify you, he horrified you. I'll be back shortly.
In God We Trust, America Speaks.
In the words of Eleanor Roosevelt, all human beings have failings. All human beings have needs and temptations and stresses. Men and women who live together through long years get to know one another's failings, but they also come to know what is worthy of respect and admiration in those they live with and in themselves. If at the end one can say, this man used to limit the powers that God granted him, he was worthy of love and respect and of the sacrifices of many people, made in order that he might achieve what he deemed to be his task, then that life has been lived well, and there are no regrets.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
The Premature Burial is only one of a number of stories by the master Edgar Allan Poe I've had the pleasure of bringing you. We now owe, and generations to come will owe, so much to his imagination, his vibrant fancy, that it might be nice to think of him now and then. Let his name pass through your thoughts, as it does through mine, and to wish him well, wherever he may be. Our cast included Keir DeLay, Paul Hecht, Guy Sorrell, and Marion Seldes. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
He talked about leprechauns and banshees, you know, that sort of thing. Oh, I might have thought he was a little, I guess you'd say touched, except for... Well, I shouldn't talk this way. I loved him. He was fun and amusing, full of a wonderful zest for life, but sort of scary, too. Is he the same at home here?
Oh, he can be all of those, though we don't see much of it anymore. Uncle Terence is a great problem to us.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Nothing to do with you.
I hope you won't tell him some of the things I just said or intimated. When he comes in for dinner, I mean.
He won't be here for dinner.
Oh, I thought he lived here.
Well, so he does in a sort of way.
I think it's time that we told the boy the truth, Sean, as best we can.
Yes. Well, you had a good long look at Uncle Terence. He wouldn't forget it.
Oh, no, never.
Look behind the picture and make sure...
Yes. Yes, he's back again. Now... Come here, you see this portrait, Brian? Now, would that be Uncle Terence?
Oh, yeah, that's him. That's him to the life.
You're not exactly. The gentleman you are looking at has been dead these 35 years.
What?
The only problem is that he won't stay decently in his grave.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook for the KIXI listening area. Showers and periods of partial clearing through Tuesday. The highs in the lower 50s and lows in the mid-40s. In downtown Seattle, currently it's 47 degrees. It's 45 at the airport. The barometer is rising. It reads 30.13. And at KIXI, the time now is 11 p.m.
CBS News. President Ford on Monday may announce a postponement of additional taxes on imported oil. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The White House confirms the president may hold off on the extra $2 a barrel tariffs planned for this month and next. The delay would be part of the administration effort to work out a compromise energy program with the Democratic majority in Congress. Ways and Means Committee Chairman Al Ullman Sunday released a proposed plan. It calls for import quotas and gasoline tax hikes up to 40 cents a gallon by 1979. Ullman called the plan solid and tough. Ullman's committee has also drafted a tax cut plan, which has cleared the House, part of an economic program by the Democrats. Ullman on Sunday said the current recession is not going to go away by itself.
The economy won't turn around automatically this time. In the past, we've been able to bumble through a lot of recessions knowing that everything would be all right at the end. This isn't that kind of a recession. And therefore, we, in the political arena, have a grave responsibility to take actions to cure some of the long-term ills of this country because they relate to the problem. And unless we face up to some of these long-term issues, we're not really going to get out of this recession into a sound economy.
Ullman appeared on the CBS News broadcast Face the Nation. More news in a moment.
Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
West German officials say five anarchists have now agreed to be flown out of Germany after some reluctance over the weekend. It's reported the anarchists have been taken to the Frankfurt airport where a plane is standing by. The kidnappers of West Berlin politician Peter Lawrence demanded the anarchists be flown out of the country. They threatened to kill Lawrence otherwise. Lawrence's Christian Democratic Party on Sunday won a plurality in the West Berlin elections. Lawrence appears likely to become the new mayor of the city, but it's not known yet what the kidnappers have done with him. A Senate Committee on Nutrition, headed by Senator George McGovern, has released a report highly critical of the nation's food stamp program. Ed Bradley has a report.
The report brands the food stamp program a failure and places the blame on what it terms the restrictive policies and practices of the Department of Agriculture. The report claims some 20 million eligible Americans are not receiving food stamps, many of them because they don't even know they're eligible, and others because their participation in the program is discouraged by the department's complicated certification process. By law, a person is required to wait no more than 30 days for certification. According to the report, at any given time, some 85,000 people are waiting more than 30 days. Some have been forced to line up before dawn and wait sometimes all day in an effort to be processed. In addition, the report says the food stamp allotment does not provide for an adequate diet and does not take into consideration the special needs of the elderly, pregnant women, or people who require a special diet because of their medical needs. Ed Bradley, CBS News, Washington.
United Press International is quoting a senior Cambodian government official as saying all of the American rice airlifted to Cambodia is being earmarked for the Cambodian military and members of their families. The report says President Lon Nol gave the order and that none of the food is being distributed to the starving civilian population in Cambodia. Now this.
Hi, this is Dottie West singing it up for today's Navy.
Young you may be, still you're a man. Just turned 18, you'll do what you can to be all the things that you want to be. Get ready for life, be free as the sea. Oh, where do you go from here? Where do you go from here?
Hey, me again, Dottie West, saying you can be someone special in the Navy. Make the most of yourself with a good job and career training if you qualify. See your Navy recruiter or call toll-free 800-841-8000. That's 800-841-8000.
All over the world, there's so much to do. The call of the sea, don't you hear it too? You know where you're going from here.
A Senate subcommittee report Sunday night attributes many of the nursing home abuses to lack of good medical care and supervision. The report says too many doctors treat elderly patients by telephone and rarely make personal visits. It says 80 to 90% of the medical care in nursing homes is given by untrained nurses and orderlies. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, where the time now is 6 minutes past 11.